Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Introducing the new chocolate cream cold brew. Light, sweet, and silky chocolate cream cold foam meets bold, smooth Starbucks cold brew for a delicious way to make the most of your summer day. Your happy is here at Starbucks. Order ahead on the app.
This is match reaction for Everton 2, Norwich City 0. The Blues dispatching a team that's lost 16 in a row now in uncharacteristically professional manner. We're on to 13 points from 6 games and we're all feeling very good. Joining me now, 3 very happy toffees. One more might join us in a bit in Michael Diascia. But we'll speak. Les's dad's here as well. I think he thought he was going to get dragged on the post match there, but he's not. He's going to sit in the corner and watch. But Les Roberts, Matt Flusk, and Keith Tomlin are here now. Keith, I'll come to you first, mate. Like I said, unerringly professional, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much to talk about there, is it? It was just sort of.
That's the end of the show this week.
It was quite efficient, wasn't it? Sort of ruthlessly efficient dispatching of bottom of the league nonsense in easy fashion. So yeah, I'm fully here for it. Never got out of second gear the whole game, really, did they?
Mass, what about you, mate?
Yeah, very, very poor Norwich side. That I think they'll struggle to still be in the league come March, to be honest. And we were all, well, not all of us, we were predicting before kickoff, where we like, you know, no points this season, newly promoted side. And to be honest, I think down the years Norwich have often given us a bit of trouble, haven't he? But
yeah.
No, I mean, like he said, didn't get out of second gear. It was maybe on another day a more competent side might have punished us, because we did give them a lot of the ball. But yeah, it was just very straightforward and on we go.
Les, where are you on the Rafa graph, mate?
I'm probably back up to an 8 now. I think on last night's mailbag I dropped down to a 7 with Matt, but back up to an 8. It was, you know, it was
what's that akin to then?
What is that? That's I'll come back to you on that one. I'll have a think where I'm at. But yeah, as you said, an uncharacteristically professional performance from Everton in that sort of game. If you think back to when he beat us at Goodison last time they were there, it just seemed the ideal opportunity today to absolutely bookend that terrible run with 2 Goodison wins. And you just think, like, some of the games this season where we've gone down 1-0 at half-time, we would never have got back into it last couple of seasons. This season we have. And then this season we would have made the right mess of that game, but we didn't. I was really worried about the lack of threat we'd posed them. I wasn't really concerned about them scoring so much, but I wondered where the goals would come from for us. And I think Rondon laboured up front, but I think having those outlets of Damari Gray and Andros Townsend, it really makes a difference in games like that. And I think that was the telling difference in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll come back to you first, Les, on this, on Townsend. He's obviously the one who got the goal that got us ahead in the end, you know. First 15 minutes, unfortunately, me, Matt and Keith missed because taxis in town today. Absolute shocker. But for speaking to me down on the ground, didn't seem to miss anything. But, I mean, first and foremost, how wasn't that penalty given in open play? Because he boots him up in the air, doesn't he?
Yeah, I loved the way the fact VAR must have checked it for about a minute and a half and then just went to the referee. Nah, fuck it, you decide, we don't know. But good enough, like, he gave it. I think all credit to Alan as well for actually going up to the referee and saying, look, he's actually properly volleyed me there. and sort of showing him where he kicked him. Because you kind of think, if we don't do that, we might not get it. The referee might just walk away and leave it. But yeah, you know, it was a definite penalty. We hadn't really done much up in the game up until that point. I think Andros Townsend did a really tame shot at the keeper. But he was, before the penalty had been given, he'd taken it off the keeper. He had it in his head that he was taking it, and he slotted it away nicely. There was a lot of pissing about, though, wasn't there? I think they had four players in the area while he was trying to spot that penalty. He was kicking the ball away, messing about round the post, picking up water bottles, and it's like things like that. The referee's got to get a grip, because I know it's all gamesmanship, but it's not on stuff like that. Is it? It was too much messing about, but you know, didn't faze him. He's been really good.
Yeah. He's been boss, hasn't he, Matt? You know, four goals now. Our top scorer had Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Still early days in the season, and I think I always thought he was like an adequate average Premier League player, but you know, watching him over the last few weeks, I think he's probably just like a really good Premier League player.
He's becoming a very important player for us, and he's that player that we've talked up for years, but we've never actually seen him, and that's sort of in that 30 bracket, maybe something to prove. And we've signed these players, often giving them a big wedge of money, thinking, oh, they're going to be hungry, they're going to, you know, want to get a couple more years to prove they are one of them top Premier League players, and it's not panned out. So far, touch wood, it's looking like he's that mythical player. He's actually fired up. He knows what he can do, and he just gets stuck in as well. And for a player of his years to be one of our best runners throughout every single game, it's just fantastic. And what an example as well to the young players coming through, like Gordon.
Yeah, I think as well, Keith, you know, we've let a player go, Rodriguez, this week, who linked up really well with Ancelotti, and you know, you sort of put them, you know, sort of in bed together and say, you know, you get this player and this manager, they work really well together. Townsend and Benitez is probably a little bit like that as well, isn't it? You know, it just feels at the moment like there's a great synergy between them two.
He does feel like a Benitez type player, doesn't he? He's like, I mean, one thing you see today is how hard he works getting up and down that wing, in that he was probably our main attacking outlet the whole game he was on the pitch. But he was also one of the most important defensively. I feel like Godfrey struggled at times with that left back, that young Williams lad. He struggled positionally. Townsend's work rate to get back and track back every single time was phenomenal. And even if he's not producing up the top end of the pitch, if he's not scoring or creating goals, that's something we need in the side. So it's one of them. I shook my head at the signing at the time, because obviously I hadn't ever really watched him closely, and you just see, oh, he scores an occasional screamer, but what else has he got? When you watch him for 90 minutes in the ground, he's one of the hardest working footballers I've seen. And I mean, that'll always go down well at Goodison. We like players that'll put a graft in. So yeah, he's a cracking signing for me.
Yeah, it's great to see, lads, isn't it? You know, playing at that age, he's still, you know, probably a lot of players at that point be thinking the Premier League career is coming to an end. You know, they've gone to a club like Everton, and you know, maybe he can coast it a little bit. But he seems to love the graft, doesn't he? You know, as much as he obviously enjoys banging in crosses and setting people up and scoring well, these from 30 yards, that part of the game he seems to really enjoy as well.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I'm pretty sure I put him as our player of the season in the blue room thing at the start. So there's a long way to go. There's a long way to go, yeah, but I'm pretty sure I marked him down as one to watch. Like,
well, what was it when we signed him that made you think he was going to be this? I mean, did you envision him I imagine if we'd all sat around and said, how many goals do you think Andros Townsend is going to score for us this season? We probably all would have been around about four or five, yeah, for the whole campaign. He's on four already.
Yeah, well, I think for me it was because he was completely different to what we had, and he was something what we really, really needed. We needed that player out wide who would just cross the ball all day happily if he could, put the work rate in and that. And as right, you say, it's as much part of his game as anything else, getting up and down the pitch, helping the fullback out, tracking back, and it's one of those things that gets a little bit maligned and becomes a bit of a cliche with players, isn't it? You know, he's good at tracking back, but at the minute, it might not last all season, but at the minute, he's got the end product as well, because he's scoring, he's creating goals. And I think when he came in, you could see how happy he was to be at Everton. That is a move he never thought would happen. He probably thought, he's leaving Palace, he's going down the Championship, or he's going to a team like Norwich. That was probably where he thought he was going after Palace, because, you know, it's understandable, isn't it? You get let go on a free. sort of, you're in your 30s.
Why didn't Palace strike you?
It's bizarre, isn't it? I'll find out that, actually. I'll see what happened with that, because I've got a mate who supports Palace and he was a bit gutted that he never signed on again. So I don't know if they offered him a deal and he just jibbed it. But yeah, you know, and he's happy to be at the club. And that's a massive thing. We don't have enough players who say that, do we? Who are genuinely made up to be there. So long may it continue.
Sorry, I was going to make a point there. But yeah, after that match, it sort of became a bit of a weird game. Norwich probably had more possession of the ball. After half time, we didn't really have much control. It, you know, there's a few sort of anxious moments where, you know, they had a few corners and people going, you need to change it, the manager. You know, it felt like the equaliser might have been on its way. But, you know, Decore's... And I think it was quite similar to the Burnley game again today, where you sort of watched them, and I don't think overall for 90 minutes he was dominant and was really the best player on the pitch, to say. But for 10 minutes he burst into life and eventually took that game away from Norwich.
Yeah, and this is what I've been saying all season. We'll labour for a while, and we'll huff and we'll puff, and we might give them possession, give them chances, even concede goals. But we seem to have a 10-15 minute spell in every game where we just decide we're just going to run through these, and Decore is a massive part of that. And it can be silky passing, or it can just be absolute, you know, bull in the china shop. He can do both, and I know that Les won't like this because obviously he's got him in the sweep Townsend, but I think Decore is well on course to be our player of the season, because without him we look a very, very different, very more depressing side. So, but you talk about changing the game, and the way people around me screaming for changes, you know, saying get Sims on and stuff. But any of them changes that need to be made were probably in the forward half of the pitch, because at the back, I never felt that we were really under threat, especially because Yerry Mina had his hat on everything. There was one moment when Dez ran into the box and he's chasing after him full pelt, and just little toe just comes out, stops the ball dead. And you just see, you think, how's he done that? Like, he's a big gangly galoot. And
someone he was playing in, was it, down the left channel?
I don't know, some Norwich man. I don't know their names. I don't know their names, they're not going to be here next season. But yeah, Yerry Mina is chasing after a full belt, and he's just foot just comes out of nowhere, stops the ball dead, trickles out for a corner. And there's a lot of debate about our best centre-back partnership at the moment, because Godfrey's still coming back, and you know, Mick Keggis has been a bit here and there, and Mason Holgate, less said about that the better. But I don't think there's any question right now that whatever our best partnership is, Yerry Mina, isn't it?
We'll talk about Mina a bit more, but Decore, Keith, you know, I mean, there are times today where you're like, you're watching the game in your own little field of vision, you have your own little sort of TV screen in your eyesight, and then every now and then he just zoom into it, like just sort of nick the ball. He's like, where's he come from? And I think Paddy put on Twitter before that he made 13 ball recoveries today, which was six more than any other Everton player on the pitch. And you know, when he's like that, when he was playing well, like he was for those 10-15 minutes today, and he he's a colossus in there, isn't he?
It's like, have you ever seen those videos on YouTube where they get like two or three professional footballers to play against 100 children? That was Decore today. He just picks this other gear up from nowhere, and people can't get near him. Like when he runs with the ball, people can't touch him. You saw that, like second half there, one of theirs spent about 15 yards trying to get close enough to foul him. Like he wasn't even, he'd given up on getting the ball like a good time ago. He gets the ball at his feet and he can carry us 40 yards up the pitch, and that's huge, because like last season you saw at times we were penned in our own half under a lot of pressure. Get him on the ball, get him running with it, and get us out of trouble. And I mean, he took his goal really well as well. He did very well to stay on the shoulder of Damari Gray, who's no slouch himself. But yeah, like Matt said earlier, we pick our moments to just run through teams, and it's so nice to see Everton do that. Just go direct, just go quickly, and like blast teams out of the game.
Mike Diash has just come and plonked himself down just in time for a chat about his favourite subject, Adelaide Decore. I'm assuming you've seen the game today, Mike. What did you think of Decore?
Wonderful. It's just nice watching him play football now, isn't it? Now that he's actually got himself fully fit again. Because I think we spoke about it a few weeks ago, just the amount of effort he had to put into the end of the season when he came back from that injury was just ridiculous. And it showed in his game. Whereas this season, he's just been a different player. What is it now? 2 goals, 3 assists so far. Just, he's a different player. It's nice to actually see him be used the way he should be used properly. But yeah, it was a nice little day, wasn't it?
It was lovely, and it's just great to see him getting into that position. You know, like Keith said, ahead of Damari Gray on the pitch. You know, and one of the things you say about Rodriguez going is maybe last season he wouldn't have been given the license to be able to be there because ultimately he would have had to be covering for James. But one player I want to speak about, Les. I'm sure Rob Veer is itching for this big Yerry Mina chat, but he was fantastic today, wasn't he?
He was brilliant. I think I don't think there's any doubts. Oh, there can't be any doubt in anyone's mind now that he's clearly head and shoulders our best defender now. He's I still have heart palpitations when he does that like little shimmy, because I have flashbacks to when he done himself in doing that. I think he did his groin or something, didn't he, doing his little shimmy. But hopefully he's over that, because that's the only downside to his game I can see, is that he has trouble staying fit. But if he can, he's head and shoulders above anyone else on the park. He just bossed that defence all day today. It did look like a man against boys thing. I know it was only Norwich, but I think he's been like that all season, and a lot of the time last season as well. Yeah, he was great. And I think on Mailbag we used the Betwego picture.
Yeah, what a photo.
I would recommend everyone go and have a look at that. Yerry Mina in 5 different disguises. What a fella.
It puts us in a bit of a quandary now though, doesn't it? Because you either sell him this summer or you give him a new deal. He's already probably your highest paid defender at the time of like FFP time. Like, it kind of makes you a little bit nervous, doesn't it? Because he is by far and away, as Les said, our best defender. And you just wonder, what are they going to do with him at the end of this year?
2023 expires?
I don't know. Yeah. But it's soon, innit? It's got to be soon, like, because he's not got a new deal and been here for ages.
I'd give him a new deal myself. Like, I mean, he's like we say, he's already quite highly paid. He's not going to get that much more money, realistically. And he's not going to get offered it anywhere else. No one's going to pay him 200 grand a week. He's probably on about, what, 100 grand a week now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Offer him 125 grand in a 4-year deal. Take him into his 30s.
His eyebrows been raised at that suggestion.
4 years.
He's the best centre-half at the club. And he's, how old's he now? Mina, what, 26, 27? Yeah. He's got 4 or 5 years in him. Still at the level he's playing at.
I'm still a bit concerned about the fitness side of things though, Mark. Like in that point of view, I mean, if he can play 30 games this year, I think I'll be ready to say here's your 4 years, lad. But until he gets to that point,
it just reminds me of James McCarthy, doesn't it? Like, anyone at that point, anyone would have given James McCarthy 4 or 5 year deal, and then the injuries came and he disappeared off the face of the earth for a long time. And by the time he finally left the club, hardly any of the fans even noticed. So we've got to be wary of that, haven't we?
I'm in Rob's camp here. me and Rob have long been vocal supporters of Yerry Mina, and he's filled the void in my life left by Ramiro Funes Mori. So, and he's filled it adequately as well. He doesn't even need to do barbecues. He's a cracking footballer. So yeah.
The only way they should be mentioned in the same sentence is because they're from the same continent. That's it.
I just had images of Rob's face when Matt compared James McCarthy to Yerry Mina. Probably his favourite player of all time. This is his least favourite player of all time. But one other player I wanted to mention, actually, Mike, is Alan, continuing his good start to the season. Looks fitter. And him and Decore sounds like a proper partnership in there.
Yeah, his game is just, it's simplified, hasn't it? As everyone's has really this year. But I can't work him out still. There are still times when it looks like absolutely anybody could dribble past him. And then there are other times when it looks like he can't pass a football to anybody. But then there's other times when he's quite composed. And there was one today where he tracks back about 20 yards. It might have been Max Aarons who had the ball. Wins it off him, turns around, plays a simple pass. And you're like, that's the one side. It's like Jekyll and Hyde, isn't it? And I just really hope he continues going towards the Jekyll and the Hyde.
I don't think he played. I think he misplaced every pass in about the first 10, 15 minutes. Nothing was going right.
Oh, we missed that. So.
Oh, you were in a taxi, weren't you? He was dreadful for the first 10, 15 minutes. Couldn't do a thing right. But as Mike said, he grew into the game, but he still has those moments where he does. He looks like Peter Reid at the Azteca getting roasted by Maradona. And he's like chugging back. And then other times, he will sprint back like he did at Max Ahrens, easily win the ball off and shoulder him off, play it simple. But he does look... He's another one, isn't he, who's had his injury problems, and you kind of think if we can keep him fit... I mean, he's now the wrong side of 30, is he?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's even more pronounced for him. But he looks a lot fitter. He's seeing out games now, which he probably wasn't doing last season. So he's another one, isn't it? You can't underestimate the importance of having fit football players. Not just because they can keep up with the game, it's because once your fitness starts going, your brain power starts going, that's when you start misplacing passes. So God knows, he must have been knackered the first 15 there. But he does look a lot better. And as you say, him and Decore now look like a proper partnership. Definitely.
Do you know what he's really good at? When a player's like got somebody else on them, and he comes over and nicks the ball back and it makes it 2-on-1, and he's great at being that second man all the time. But just to sort of finish up, look ahead to next week, Matt, Man United at Old Trafford, early kickoff on Saturday, which they lost today against Aston Villa. Do we dare be any sort of confidence going there?
Well, we've got nothing to lose, have we? Just go out and play our game. But are they playing Europe midweek at all? Yeah. So,
yeah, they're at home in the Champions League. I don't know who the game's
So that might be the reaction game, as it were. So if they end up winning that, there might be a bit less pressure on them to get a result against us. But we just have to go with it. My only wish for the game next week is that we put a sacrificial lamb on the pitch to go through Ronaldo and just snap him in half and, you know, just lean over to him and say, believe women, and that's it.
What do you reckon the approach is going to be for that game? Mike, I'll come to you first.
Well, it's going to be Benitez's standard contain thing, isn't it? It's just, that's all it's going to be. But the nice thing is, what is it, 13 points we've got so far? Well, it leaves you in it with a platform now to, as Matt said, just, you can take it. You don't want to call it a free hit, because no game in this league should be a free hit for Everton. They shouldn't be playing free hits. But there's a lot less pressure on this game than there could have been had results gone differently, which is good, because you ended up in a situation with this game where they've been depleted. You take the top two players out of any team in this league and they will struggle. You take every single right back option of it. I know for us that's only one, but if you take every right back option available and your best two players out any team, then they're going to struggle. So Everton have done really well today to actually get themselves over the line. People will complain about it, and that's fair enough, but it gives them the platform for next week to actually go out with a little bit less pressure on them. And that's when Everton sometimes do turn in those performances. But I think it always reminds me of the one they turned in under Duncan Ferguson, when he went away to United, had about five players fit. It was an awful game. It was the one where Moise Kean got subbed on and off. But they just dug in, got a point, and then got out of there. And it was because, like, the game before, they beat Chelsea. It's that sort of rolling thing that really helps Everton in these situations. So, who knows? Maybe they go there and manage to nick a win.
It does feel, Keith, as though we could do with one of those centre-forwards being fit for next week, because Rondon, bless him, toiled today, didn't he?
Oh, mate, don't, like, Rondon, genuinely, he runs like he's wearing welder's boots. It's terrifying to watch. He has to be the slowest human being I've ever seen. He's clearly not match fit, is he? So we'll give him a pass on that. But he's just not offering much. United, it's a free hit, you know what I mean? We're on 13 points from 6 games. It's more than probably any of us expected to be on. We at the time of speaking, we're joint top of the league. Could even go top if Brentford win 7-0. But yeah, it's one of them. Just take the hit, go there without anything to lose, have a go at them, play like we've played today, be direct, get running at them, because they're a good side, but they're not the best defensively. So take a chance and then make the game horrible. I think that's the key to it for Everton next week, is make the game horrible. Don't let them be expansive. Don't let them play the football all across the pitch. Niggly fouls, break the game down and make them fight for it and see what happens.
Final words to you, Les.
Shouldn't have come to me last.
Why?
Because I reckon we'll get 11. I just look at United and I just think
13 points from 6 is a good start.
I'm going to end on a positive. I honestly think we'll get 11 next week. It's just got a horrible feeling that their players are so much better than ours. I don't think the manager is. I don't rate Solskjaer as a manager at all. I don't think he's good enough for that team. But I just think the players have got enough in them to eventually just roll us over and wear us down. So I'm not expecting anything from next week. But we can't get hung up on results at Old Trafford, because that's not the ballpark we're playing in. We win games like today, we win Brighton away, games like that, we win our home games. We don't have to worry about the Anfields, the Old Traffords, places like that. So, yeah, as Mike said, it's not a free hit, because you can't look at any game like that, really. If we get beat, even if we get leathered, it isn't the end of the world, because we are winning games like this now. We're coming from behind and we're winning at home in the games we should be winning. Keep doing that all season and we'll be laughing. So, yeah, I'm just going to enjoy today and not think of next week until next week.
Yeah, let's all do that. Let's enjoy today. Everton, 13 points from 6 games. Great start to the season. Dispatch Norwich today without any centre-forwards. Without our best right-back as well. But, yeah, cheers to Les, Matt, Keith and Mike there. That's been your Blue Room Mr. Match reaction for Everton 2, Norwich 0. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday and we'll speak to you again soon.
Time to pay for college? ISL Education Lending is here to help. Our online tools and resources help you make a plan to pay for college. And we offer lower cost loans for students and parents when additional funding is needed. A no cosigner option is available for both graduate and undergraduate students. And our parent loan rate is lower than the Federal Plus loan. Visit iowastudentloan.org to learn more and pre-qualify today. Let ISL Education Lending help you plan smart and pay less. Loan subject to credit approval.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.